Hello, Dan, are you there?
I'm here.
Again, I appreciate you taking the time out today to speak with me.
Sure. No. Well, you're benefiting me by promoting stuff, so I appreciate that as well.
Well, let's start off and talk about the new book you got coming out, The Realest Guy in the Room. What are Dan Severn fans in for with this book?
Well, I don't know if they're really in for anything new other than the fact that anyone that actually, I guess, kind of knows me that I don't really beat around the bush too much. I pretty much am direct and to the point. Probably some would say I am not politically correct, but, you know, I can live with my conscience just fine.
Well, yeah, it's obviously you have had a life and a career that would need a book. I know obviously you're also in the UFC Hall of Fame, and I guess I want to ask you, first of all, what makes you decide to do something like that for a living, to get into the octagon and have guys punch you in the face?
Well, I'll say that is basically one of the goals of that type of competition, but I'll put it like this. 'Tis better to give than receive. It's the golden rule in reverse. Honestly, I got involved with this kind of through, I'll just say, just in an unusual way. I've actually never been in a fight in my entire life, but I have been a competitor my entire life, and that's just kind of a different type of, a mindset, the mindset of a competitor. And I would have never entered into a world of, say, boxing or kickboxing because I did not possess those kind of skills. But to allow me to use my grappling ability, well, you have to be within arm's distance in order to strike me. You have to be within legs reach in order to kick me, knee me, elbow me. And I was always pretty darn good at staying elusive, being out of that range. And as people throw things out, they always have to recoil it back in, and as they recoil it back in, I just kind of follow back in, clinch them, and say, hello, welcome to my world of grappling, and you shall never see the light of day again unless I decide to cut you loose. So my grappling ability served me quite well. I've been credited with being known as the first world-class wrestler to unleash the hordes of wrestlers that now invade the sport of mixed martial arts. And when you look at the basic fact that 9 out of the top 10 guys per weight class, what is their true roots and background? Well, they are wrestlers that have acquired striking and grappling abilities, but it's the glue that makes any of these athletes probably the top of their game.
Well, with that being said, Dan, I know you were there in the early days of the UFC. Do you think it was more difficult to be a fighter back then when it was first starting versus today, considering, you know, the round system and the stuff that they have now in place?
Well, I'll say that if you watch the two products side by side, most people would like to have seen the product from yesteryear because there were so few rules. There were only 2 rules, whereas today's product abides by 47 rules. But it had to make concessions because you did have a number of legislators and politicians that were going after sport, trying to ban it altogether. So the concessions that were made it morphed into the product that it is today.
And again, we're on the phone today with UFC Hall of Famer Dan Severn talking about his new book, The Realest Guy in the Room. And Dan, I want to know your thoughts on the popularity of the UFC now. I read that it just sold for about $4 billion or so. Did you ever see the popularity getting to that point when you were first starting out?
Well, I mean, I knew that the popularity was going to be incredible because, let's face it, I don't care how sophisticated an individual might be. There is something that attracts people about violence, whether it be outright violence or controlled violence, one way or the other. I don't care if we're talking boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, karate, kung fu, but when you see one person pitted against another person, and whether there's 47 rules or there's two rules, people like to see competition, and especially it's a competition where someone could get knocked out, choked out, arm-barred, leg locked. I mean, there's just so many variables that could come into play. So when I first saw this, it actually kind of blew my mind that you could do this type of competition. And then, you know, I was exposed to this one still when the popularity of pay-per-views was not all that well. Like today, any kind of electronic device, I don't care if you have a cell phone, laptop, iPad, computer, you can play it, smartphones, smart TVs. Well, none of that stuff existed when the pay-per-view or this competition that they first began. So pay-per-views would only be, like in a state like Michigan, it may only be playing in three or four different major metropolitan areas. And, you know, me living way out in the sticks here in Coldwater, Michigan, I didn't even know that they existed until a buddy of mine out of Detroit, metropolitan area, watches the first two copies of my old VHS tape and shows them to me. And it just kind of blew me away. But then, as an experiment, because first off, I just believe you could do this competition. So as an experiment, I'd have some of my buddies that had to stop by my place just to drop off some quickly. Well, I just threw this tape in, and it was start to play, and I just turned the volume up a little bit while I'm conversing with them. And lo and behold, they were always supposed to drop by for just a quick second to drop something off. An hour and a half later, they're on the edge of my couch, screaming, hollering, contorting their bodies while watching the action. And I was actually watching them more than what I was watching on television. I'm thinking, there is something here.
Well, Dan, I know that in the book, The Realest Guy in the Room, obviously the UFC stuff is in there, but you were also very successful in the world of pro wrestling. You did both at the same time. A lot of people think maybe Brock Lesnar was the first to do that, but you were there doing it long before he was on the scene.
Yes, and that's, I guess, one of the things that kind of... I'll just say that, let me say it a couple of ways. U.S. people are very... What's the word before? They have a very short memory. Things that they forget so quickly. I mean, yesterday news was as quickly as yesterday. I did things that probably no other human being will ever be able to do. Out here from the past or the present from what I've done. When you think about Brock Lesnar's career, that's not here just a dish, something that's kind of like, the realest guy is a rule, basically means I tell it like it is. I rub people's noses and facts and figures. When you think about Brock Lesnar being under contract with the WWE, he had eight fights. Okay, he had eight fights so far in his entire career, and while in 1 year alone, while I was under contract with the WWE, I had eight fights in 1 year. And Brock Lesnar has only had, this past weekend, made his ninth fight in his entire career. I had eight in 1 year underneath contract, and I went 8-0 on top of tweet. My schedule with the WWE, on top of my schedule with the NWA, my time with doing all the other things that I did. So, you know, that just puts me in a category all by myself. But I'm also in a category all by myself for probably a lot of other reasons when you look at what age did I start a cage fighting career. Sure. I was just before turning 37 years of age. You don't start a career at that age. You retire. But that is when opportunity presented itself. My last actually official bout took place at 55 years of age. And even in my final 5 years, I was trying to get one more match with the Mark Coleman, the Ken Shamrock, and Hoist Gracie. But Mark had a couple artificial hip replacements. He basically got taken off the list. You know, just took from medical, but Ken and Hoist both have been both making some noise. They actually both recently did a match with each other. What was it? Why don't I get to play? I was pursuing them so strongly in my final 5 years, and both of them agreed to do matches, but nothing ever became of it. Now that I've retired, now they kind of like, they're popping their heads up and making a little bit of noise about it. I would tell people, I retired with the qualms. you are two of those people I would come back out of retirement for. So even being at the UFC this past weekend, I should be asking all the people that came up to get pictures and autographs with me to go on their social media and then go on both of theirs and just simply say, this past weekend, I met Dan Severn. And Dan Severn simply had this to say, put up or shut up. I'm willing to still do those matches, but I like to do it before I hit 60 years of age. I don't look my age, nor do I act my age. And I'm lifetime chemical free out of the first three guys ever inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. Only one of us has never tested positive. Would you like to go out on a limb there, Dustin, to know which one those were, which that person was?
Yeah, I think I got an idea.
Just the realest guy in the room.
Well, Dan, I got to ask you, doing both the professional wrestling and the UFC, I know in the case of Lesnar, he kind of gets some, I guess, some heat from the real hardcore MMA fans who think, you know, he came from fake wrestling, so he's not a real tough guy. I mean, did you have that kind of trouble when you were doing both? Did people think that maybe you weren't legit because of that?
Well, the only thing we haven't really touched on here yet is my amateur wrestling background on top of that. I mean, I come from a legitimate amateur wrestling background. So did Brock Lesnar. You know, he actually wrestled at the University of Minnesota. So I actually had a legitimate pedigree in amateur wrestling. When I went into professional wrestling, I did not tell any of my buddies because of the persecution I know that I would have received. So I drove from Coahuila, Michigan. I drove 2.5 hours one way to Lima, Ohio, and worked out with El Snow at his Body Slammers gym that was located there at that time. The gym is gone now, but that was one of the people that I was training with, along with some other people. But there's a wrestler by the name of Daddy Cass that they introduced me to El. And Daddy made sure that he painted the deepest, darkest, speediest picture of that industry. And I must say, he did do it justice. And I still proceeded to want to at least try it. I would have never thought that I would still be doing it to this day, kind of like I would have never thought I would have still been doing mixed martial arts matches to this day, or the fact that I still even started my very first professional submission grapple match, which is this past year. So I even tell people that if they got retired, I only ever retired from one aspect of my life, and that was mixed martial arts, but that had at least a clause for two people. So I will stick around if I can get one or if I get two of those matches still before this year's out. It'll be phenomenal, but if not this year, at least maybe I'll stick around for one more year for those two old fights. And that's pretty bad. That's the pot calling the kettle black, because I'm older than the two of them.
Well, again, Dan, the book now, The Realest Guy in the Room, is out. And are you up to anything else? I know you have the training facility. Do you have any other projects maybe in the works? Or?
No, the training facility is located in Coahuila, Michigan. I always tell people, if they really want to know more, if they want to know how to contact me, this is by going to the website, dansever.com. It's probably the best way. They'll see all the different social media aspects that I have there. I bounce between Michigan and Arizona. I actually look upon them as my two homes. I was born and raised here in Michigan. But I spent a decade of my life between going to college at Arizona State, student athlete for 5 years, 5 years as the assistant wrestling coach to Bobby Douglas at the Arizona State program before taking a job at Michigan State. So I've been involved in the sport of amateur wrestling since 1969. I've been teaching since 71. I won my first national title in 72. Basically, state, I have 100-plus state, national, and or international titles and or records. There's not another human being close to doing what I've done, and I'm not done. I still plan on doing terrorizing a few other athletes yet.
Well, again, Dan, obviously the realest guy in the room was the right title for the book, and looking forward to finishing that off. And again, thanks a lot for being on with me today. I appreciate it.
Not a problem there, Dustin. I tell you what I really enjoy about the fact is I think the book has only been out maybe a little over, I don't know, maybe 10 days now, and on ebook. And an ebook alone, it's already hit Amazon number one bestseller. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Wait till the hardback comes. I ironically do not even have a hard copy yet. So I'm hoping that will do just as well as what the ebooks have done.
Yeah, most definitely. Again, Dan, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Dustin.
All right, bye-bye.
Yep, bye now.
This is Dan to be Severed, and you're listening to The Five Count. You better listen, otherwise, I know where you live.